program number 191 in that continuing series. As you're listening to your dependable neighbor for all of Central Minnesota, as our theme wraps up right there. Yes, your dependable neighbor for all of Central Minnesota, KASM Albany, 1150 AM, KDDG Albany, 105.5 HD2, and 107.7 on your FM dial. We're coming up on 12 minutes before the hour of 12 noon, and we have 41 degrees here in central Minnesota. Sun shining through, but kind of a breezy day here in central Minnesota. We've got our guest on the line. We're going to go to the phone line right now and bring in Mr. Ray Dronnell. We say, good morning, Ray. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. How's things on the shores of Long Lake out there this morning?
They're kind of freezing up again. You know, we're trying to thaw out about 10, 15 feet out, but now everything froze again.
So. Oh, yes. Okay.
Maybe this week it'll probably loosen up again.
Yep. Spring begins tomorrow on the calendar, so we'll see if Mother Nature puts it into effect if we get some warmer temperatures. So.
Well, let's hope so.
You bet. Well, Ray, we've had you on the show a couple of times. Right now, we've got exciting news for our fans and listeners out there. You guys did a recording way back in the days when you first bought the band and organized, and you did a recording, and so it was only on vinyl LP. And you recently went into the studio and had it transferred onto CD so people can enjoy it once again. And tell us a little bit about that. How was that for you?
That was in 1968, I think, in September of 68 we did that.
Okay.
We went down to Minneapolis. It used to be the Pleasant was the old-time recording artist at that time, you know. And they had kind of gone out of business, and we got a hold of these guys, Universal Audio, and we got them to record us. I think some of those came from the original Pleasant Peasant label, so those guys had, I think, worked for them before, so, but they called themselves Universal Audio at that time.
Okay. Know. Okay, and I'm looking at the back cover of it, and the guys that were playing at that time, a couple of them not around anymore, huh?
That's true. Three of them are gone, you know, Miney Jensen, Roger Van Heel, Danny Baltus.
Yeah.
That's too bad. They were good musicians, all of them.
Absolutely. Roger, very good. Roger Van Heel, of course, the tuba player. Miney Jensen.
That's true.
Miney was the drummer. And Danny Baltus was your first tenor player.
And, that's true. Yeah.
I had the opportunity to work with those guys over the years off and on when they would come back to help out. And, boy, that was a fun crew, huh?
Yeah, they were good, really good musicians. At first, when I started with the band, they were solid, and they were with me for, well, you know how that goes, like 3, 4, 5 years, you know.
Sure.
And then one guy quit, and then, you know, different things happen, so you pick up different guys. But if you don't have the same guys playing all the time, it's never the same, you know.
That's right.
You always want the same guys playing at the same place, you know. To music sounds much better that way, you know.
You bet. And the other players that were there, of course, were Roger Klepacki on tenor, second tenor, Bill Miklas on first trumpet, and Ronnie Klepacki on second trumpet. So, those guys are still going as far as we know. So, any rate, you had some great recordings on this album. Must have been a little anxious or a little nervous back in those days, huh? you were kind of new to the scene, huh?
For me, yes, it was, because I had only played with the band for 2 years, and some of these other guys had recorded before, so
sure.
They had gone through that already. For me, that was pretty catch and go, you know. I'd like to play some of those numbers over, as far as I was concerned, you know, my part of it, but
yep.
The band played well, you know.
Yes, yeah.
The band really played well on that, but I had a little bit of I could have played some of those numbers a lot better.
Oh, I see.
But I would now, but yep. At that time, you know. You know how that was. So.
Yep.
Anyhow,
you're starting
out. So.
Got to start someplace.
That's true.
You had to be really excited, though. You bought the Gill-style band, and it's like buying a baseball team. They were ready to play. I mean, they were instant, huh?
Absolutely. They had all played for Gill, all these guys, when I bought the band, you know, so just a matter of changing the name, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, they knew the library, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They could play. They played together that long. Especially Danny and Roger, they had played together for
sure.
number of years, you know.
You
he
bet.
Was going through high school, you know, and or college, rather, and like Roger, they played their way through school, you know, and that, a lot of the guys did at that time, you know.
Sure.
That played for us, you know, they were... So we all had jobs, you know, either we had a job or else we had the kids were going, the guys were going to school. So
that's right.
That's how it was, you know. And so we played on Fridays and Saturdays and kind of forgot about Sunday nights because everybody had to go to work on Monday morning, you know. So,
sure.
So that Sunday night stuff was pretty much out, you know.
Yep, yep. Now, looking at the back cover of the CD, these arrangements now, were these original Gills or were these some of these ones that you had arranged?
A lot of them I had arranged. There was very few from Gill that are on that. Those, most of those I had arranged.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, most of them. There was a few of them that were Gill, but most of those were new ones that I had, that
sure.
I had arranged that thing. But like the one that, the Orphan Waltz, now Roger Van Heel arranged that one.
Okay.
And he did a great job on that. As you listen to that, you know, that clarinet stuff, you know, he did a really a great job in arranging that one. So, and I had... Slivers V. Wands from New Ulm, he did most of the rest of them. You know?
Okay.
And he was very good at it. And he had done a lot for Gill over the years. You know, he was one of the main guys down there for arranging music. He was really good.
Well, I've heard some of these recorded by other bands, but at that time, I don't think they were so much. Boy, these are classic tunes. You take the Morning Star Polka. That's a great number, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It turned out... And it was kind of a funny thing. We had it arranged for saxophones, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I said, just before we recorded it, I said, let's play that in clarinet. I think it'd be brighter, you know.
Okay.
And we did. And okay. I'm really glad we did because it really sounds well. I mean, it sounds good. So,
you bet.
It was a little brighter, you know, not quite as dull, you know.
Old-timer's Landler. Isn't that a Babe Wagner arrangement from way back?
That's Donnie Klauser, yeah. Donnie
yep.
Klauser played
yep.
that.
And you guys did a great job on that one, too.
Yeah.
I really thoroughly enjoy listening to this. I mean, this is the true big band like we grew up listening to when we went to the different dance halls over the years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the only thing, one thing, like I didn't go back, like, see, we recorded it. What you did in those days, you played through the number,
yep.
and then you'd have to play it back. So
right.
if anybody do a mistake, you know, there was, if anybody made a mistake, well, you had to play it over again.
Yeah.
So then that was kind of tough. Like nowadays, if you make a mistake, you quit, and then you play over, you know.
Right,
you
right.
play over.
Well,
so that's, but at that time, so that's really time-consuming because at first it took them like probably 45 minutes to get it set up, you know.
Sure.
Getting the mic set up so it's the song quality is the same. And then, so we recorded for 2 hours, and then we went out for lunch for, you know, then we came back and recorded for another 2 hours, we were done.
Oh, okay, okay.
So everything went pretty good. You know, it's time consuming when you play it through and then you got to listen to it all, you know, and then decide, you know, is it sound right? You know, what do we want to do? You know, or we want to play it over, you know.
Sure.
So all that kind of stuff takes time. So
yeah.
All in all, it went really good. You know?
That's great. You bet. Well, it's exciting because it's now on CD, and so folks wanting to hear it again, I'm sure a lot of people bought those albums from you over the years, and I'll bet a lot of them are sitting in closets. People don't have a turntable anymore, huh?
Well, that's why I went back and I put it on CD because most people say, well, yeah, we got the old one, but I don't have a photograph anymore, you know, and this kind of stuff. So, and so I thought to myself, well, I'm not going to get, like at that time when I got the long plays, you got them like a couple thousand at a time, you know.
Sure, sure.
But nowadays, we just do this here and we pick up probably 25, 30, 40 at a time. You know?
Sure. Yep.
So and you're not into it that much, you know.
Right. And then like they'll reprint them for you if you run out.
That's
you
right. That's, yeah. Once they have the, you know,
the master done. Yep. Yep.
Yep.
That's right.
That's true.
Well, Ray, so I'm sure that was part of it when you took over the band. I've heard this reason from a lot of other band leaders too. So you're playing and you're going around to the different dance halls and trying to book your band with the dance hall owners, and they say, what do you sound like? And so that's probably one of the good reasons for making a recording back then, huh?
Well, and also the fact that we were still going on for a year or so, we went on the Gill style banner, you know.
Oh, you did?
You know, yeah, I did. And to change that all over and get known, you know.
Sure.
So that's basically why we did that, and then I... get my own poster drawn up, and then it was a Ray Ronald band rather than a Gill style band.
Sure.
At first, the Gill kind of said, well, why don't you stay with me for a year, you know, with the name of Gill style band, until everybody because you played at all the places, you know.
Yeah.
And then the people get to know you, you know.
So, oh, yes. Okay.
So that's kind of kind of the way that went at that time, you know. But
sure. Well, over the years, you played some great dance halls, and we were going to talk a little bit about that here. Actually, it's 12 o'clock already, Ray, so if I can ask you to hold that thought for just a moment, I'll read the ad for our sponsor, the St. Joe Meat Market, and then we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit about those dance halls, okay?
Okay.
All righty. So greetings from the St. Joe Meat Market, the home of fresh meats and award-winning sausages. It's always a great time of the year to stop by and visit at your favorite local hometown meat market, and we hope that we, the St. Joe Meat Market, are your favorite. Now, the annual Minnesota Association of Meat Processors Convention was just held at the River's Edge Convention Center in St. Cloud this past Friday and Saturday, wrapping up with a banquet last night and awards ceremony. It was the 77th annual convention, with a large number of plants and suppliers attending and some 24 plants entering, a total of 408 products for competition. Local meat markets like Paul and Kathy's Market from Uppsala, Grand Champion Meats from Foley, Plantenberg's Market from Richmond, and McDonald Meats from Clear Lake all won awards. We at the St. Joe Meat Market also came away with some 8 awards as well. They were awards for our Canadian bacon, our honey glazed boneless ham, Braunschweiger, our traditional snack sticks, cooked non-fermented summer sausage, and Grand Champion awards for our chicken chorizo brats and our dried beef. Also bringing us an award was our innovative beef category. It's a brand new product. It's a smoked brat, all beef, with blueberries and cheddar cheese added. Come in this week and sample some of these great products for yourself. As always, for more great in-store specials, call 320-363-4913. Like us on Facebook or look us up on the web, www.stjosephmeatmarket.com. A thank you from the whole gang at the St. Joe Meat Market. And Ray, you've been here a couple of times. You know how it works. We're going to get that package put up at the meat market. Then you can stop by and we'll get that to you. Hope you enjoy it in good health. How's that again?
Sounds good.
All righty. So before we took a break here, we were just going to get into talking about a few of the dance halls. And boy, we had some good ones in the area. I remember you talking about the Granite City Coliseum. Cy Sockery, Webb Daniels, those guys. How was that? What was that like playing for those guys?
Well, Cy was the type of guy I always enjoyed being around. You know, he was such an upbeat guy. You know, he smoked cigar and he was always seemed like he was in a hurry to go someplace. You know?
Uh-huh.
I can tell you, if we got a little time, I'll tell you a little story about
it. Do that, Ray.
And anyhow, I met him after we were both out of business. He had sold it to Granite City Coliseum that time. And really, that was, to all of us in the business, that was really a shock, you know.
Yeah.
Because he was one of the premier dance halls around, you know. So
sure.
Not only for here, but also for the New Orleans bands, you know.
Yeah.
But anyhow, I met him, and I said, let's have lunch together, you know, so we did. And then I know him really well. I could joke around with him and stuff like that. And then I said, one thing about getting paid by you, I said, you all sure made me wait a long time, you know.
Uh-huh.
And he said, what do you mean? And then I said, I see the check alongside the cash register, and you had your, you know, you'd be running over here, over there, and over there. And then I said, I'd be waiting and waiting and waiting. And we laughed. And he put his finger up in the air, and he said, that was the reason for all that. I said, what was that? Well, he says, you know, everybody smoked at that time, and so I had all the waitresses go around, clean off all the tables and stuff like that, and had to clean off, you know, the ashtrays and throw them all the waste baskets and stuff like that, and you had to do all that stuff, and I was always a little concerned about fire, he says, and then anyhow, I'd go check the bathrooms, and I'd go make sure there's no running water running any place, and do this and do that, and then I let them... Once they got done with their work, I put them out the front door, and I locked the front door. And then he says, I'd come back, and, you know, I'd grab my money pouch, and I'd give you the check, and you'll be bought out. Oh, I said, well, I guess that's... And he says, you know, one thing, I always parked back where you guys unloaded there. You know, there was a reason for that, too. And I said, what was that? And he says, you know, I walked out of the dance hall with my big money pouch, you know, and you... And I walked out with a big guy like you. I didn't have to worry about getting robbed. I said, that was kind of funny.
Yes.
I never even gave that a thought.
No.
Well, he said, that's the way it was. He said, once I was in my car, I felt safe. You know, I wasn't going to get, and I never got robbed, and the place never burned down. So
even back then,
I laughed about that, and I said, well, okay, then you still owe me.
Yeah.
He said, what do you mean? What do you mean I owe you for what? He says, for being your bodyguard, it's just never got paid for that. Oh. So we laughed it off. And
oh, yeah.
So that was kind of funny. But actually, you think about it, you know, the poor guy.
Yeah.
Can you imagine everybody being gone, and he looks out the door, and there's a car parked alongside of his, you know?
Yeah.
And you don't really know if it's somebody abandoned car or somebody's waiting to rob him. So
sure.
I can see where... I'm sure glad he did what he did then.
Absolutely, yeah, and always positive experiences. I mean, so many good dance jobs over the years at the Granite City Coliseum, and the sound was always good and always a nice crowd. A lot of good times there.
And it was an easy place to play. We played at the fairgrounds, too, but the fairgrounds was a lot tougher.
Sure.
That was down already at that time, and then we went at the Granite City Coliseum, you know.
That's right.
But the Granite City played, was one of the easiest places to play in all Minnesota. Really a nice place to play.
Now, your home ballroom, Richmond Coliseum, that was always a fun place to play, too. I mean, you talk about sports teams coming home to play at their home park. That was sort of like us when we play at Richmond. For how many years did you do New Year's Eve there at the Richmond Coliseum?
Every year. For 10 years.
Yep.
The 10 years that I was in the business, I did it every year.
Yep.
Yeah, I played there more. Our band played there more than any other band. We played there like 10, 11 12 times a year sometimes, you know.
Sure.
So, because of all the wedding dances and stuff, we got a lot of those, you know. They wanted, because they knew our band from the Guild Style Band yet, so we got a lot of those.
Sure.
We got a lot of those wedding dances and shower dances, you know. Nowadays, not there anymore. You know?
That's right. How far does it go back? Was Elmer Niehaus the owner at that time?
Yeah, Elmer was, yes. The last couple of years, he had already sold out also.
Okay.
I think he sold out like in, maybe 72, 73, and then he had sold out already, and that was also a shock to us that time.
Yeah.
He was also a very good operator, you know.
Sure.
And those were the two guys in the area that were the best as far as we were concerned.
Sure.
Our band, you know.
Then a little guy by the name of Earl Schmidt, and it's not the musician, he bought it then, huh?
No, he did not.
Oh, he didn't buy it. Okay.
Elmer Niehaus sold to, there was a Volk and a Roush bought it from him.
Okay.
And I think, and then, I don't know if Earl bought it from them then, or there was a wrestler in there too. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Rock and Roll
that
Zumoff.
Wrestler, he had it for a couple of years.
Yep.
I don't know, that was before Earl, I think. And Earl, I think, had it after that.
Okay. Yeah. And then it's still standing yet. Do they still have weddings and stuff there once in a while?
Oh, yeah, they do a lot of anniversaries, weddings, and stuff like that, yes, but no regular old-time dance anymore.
Sure, yeah, they don't book the bands themselves.
No, they don't. No, they don't have any bookings at all.
Another local name owning it, Hemish, I believe?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
He's had it now for a number of years.
Okay.
He also owns, Jerry's bar downtown Richmond. So
sure.
He has two places, so I don't know. There's always rumors that... you know, I'm going to do something else with it, but I hope not. I would like to see it continue. You know, maybe someday you'll probably get some music in there again. So,
absolutely.
Probably
yeah.
not. Probably not.
Well,
but that's the way it kind of went, you know, when I quit in 76, you know, and then I could see the kind of handwriting on the wall, you know.
Sure.
This place was closing, that place was closing. A lot of the better bands, the bigger, nicer dance halls are closing that was, you know, that we were playing at, and we could kind of see the handwriting on the wall. I suppose it's so good size soccer, you know.
That's right.
You could see the handwriting on the wall that it wasn't going like it used to be. So then the decline went pretty quick after that.
Another interesting place to play here in central Minnesota was the Lakeview Ballroom in Avon. That was always a challenge, wasn't it?
Also, yes. And that burned down at about that time, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, the Lakeview Ballroom, that had a low ceiling. And so you had to keep it down in there, didn't you?
Well, that was always a tough one.
Yep.
See, they wanted us to use their sound system because if we used ours, we cranked it up too high and it got too loud. So
sure, yeah. That was
kind of a problem, so they had us use their sound system
because
the ceiling was so low. But it was a nice place to play. You know?
It was.
They had a lot of wedding dances and stuff too there. So
you bet.
It was always kind of a nice place to play.
Another good one is over at St. Anna, and I know we were there quite often, was the Pelican Lake Ballroom at St. Anna, working for the Shemindas, and that ballroom is still there yet, too, today.
Yeah, that is, but I don't know anything about that.
Yeah.
How they're doing it, or, you know.
They do their chicken fry on Tuesday nights, and then if somebody wants to have the ballroom for a wedding or something, anniversary or so on, but those people need to hire the band as well, too. So that's how things, kind of the way things are going these days.
Yeah, it's a different, I always, well, that stuff is over with that we had in, at that time, you know. Like we had, you know, we booked probably 70 jobs a year, you know.
Yeah.
We played Saturdays and Fridays, you know, that kind of stuff.
That's
and,
right.
And but nowadays, if you want to play, you know, in the circuit, like a lot of bands, all are gone. There's nothing left anymore. You know,
no.
I can rattle off about 10, 15 of them that we played at that are burned down or are no longer in business. You know.
Well, we talked about Ryan's Ballroom down there in the Twin Cities area last time.
That was on Bass Lake. Yeah.
Yep. And that one is gone. That one did burn down. I talked to, after we talked about it on the air, somebody came into the meat market and told me all about it, that they had heard us talking about it. And it did burn down, and I think it's all developed into houses now down there.
Oh, is that right?
Yep.
That's bad. That was,
yep.
That was one of our favorite places. That was another really nice place to play.
You know, and those places...
Howard,
you know,
Ryan was the guy's name.
Yep, yep. And back in those days, those places, like that one was on a lake, and it'd be a hot day or so, but in the evening, they always had the things open because it wasn't air-conditioned, and you could come pulling up to the building, and you hear the music through the windows already, and the cool breeze coming off the lake. It was always enjoyable, I know, playing those bars.
Yeah, it was, and you got going there, you got set up, and they didn't care what time it was, 8:30 or 9 o'clock, they wanted to dance, you know, they were ready standing in the dance floor.
Absolutely.
Ready to go, you know.
You
so,
bet. You
yeah,
bet.
That was one of the nicer places to play.
What do you think was the furthest place away that you ever played, Ray?
I think the Palm Balms at New Prague.
Oh, okay. You did.
I think that was 125 miles. I think that was the farthest.
About the farthest you traveled.
And the Palm Ballroom in St. Paul.
Oh, yeah.
That was before the interstate. So we had to go through Highway 15 and down Highway 15 and they had to go through town like that, you know, through the red lights and this kind of stuff.
Sure.
That was a long drive, too.
Yep.
And Alpine City was always pretty far, too.
Yeah, that's right. Did you ever go up to Harris, or down to Harris? I think it was Harris down there, wasn't
Harris,
it?
Harris, yeah, the Lakeside Ballroom at Harris.
Yep.
I think we played there once or twice, not very often.
Yep.
And well, we remember, did you play at Hinkley when we played at Hinkley?
Yes, we did, yep.
You remember that tree at the dance hall?
Yeah, that's right. And how did that happen again? They built on?
They had a giant oak tree.
Uh-huh.
It's beautiful. It took about three people to put their arms around it to get around the tree. That's how big it was.
Yeah.
And they liked it, so they didn't want to take it down, so they just built around it.
Okay.
And it was built inside the building. They built a building around it, and it was kind of, people enjoyed it. So
it's sure.
Different. I don't know, being inside a building like that, how much water the tree got anyhow, how long it lasted. Probably living yet today. I don't know.
Yeah, there you go. How about West?
But that was quite different.
I know we went to the Elgon up at Alexandria a few times, out to Glenwood. That was a nice ballroom on the lake there, Minnewaska.
The Lakeside, that was a nice ballroom. That burned down also.
Yeah.
But they got replaced again now. I don't know. I haven't been there since the new one's been.
I've heard it's very nice.
They replaced it, but I don't hear anything about it anymore.
Sure.
So.
Yeah.
So
I think
evidently has much going on, otherwise I'd hear about it.
The very first job I played for you, I was playing trumpet, second trumpet there. We played at Spring Hill.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was my first job over at Spring Hill. And that ballroom is still standing too, right?
That's right. Yeah, that was kind of a small ballroom.
Yeah, it's now called the Horseshoe.
Yeah, we played, there was seven, I guess, at the time you played. But,
yeah.
But the last couple times we had to go with six because of... The two trumpets got a little too lousy.
That's
too,
right, in a small
too
place.
Noisy, I mean. That,
that's right. That's right. And the Playmore Ballroom in Glencoe, that was another nice ballroom.
That was another nice place. That was another one of our favorites. He always told me that Ray Olson ran that place.
Uh-huh.
And he said, you and I even get the most jobs here. You guys both get seven or eight jobs a year.
Uh-huh.
He said, you and I even. And I said, felt pretty good about that. That's the one band I never played against, in a band with music, was Ivan Cale.
Yeah. Oh,
and
okay.
I always would have liked to have done that.
Yeah, yeah.
He had a good band.
Yeah, talking about that, and I'm sure a lot of our older listeners remember those days when a place would hire two bands and you'd switch off through the night. But for the younger listeners, they don't know what we're talking about. But
a lot of bands would do that if... Like, supposing somebody wants to hear your band and you never played there before. You know? So they'd get somebody like a 6 foot Dutchman, then they move, so we'd battle them. So they'd be there because they're Dutchman, but then you can also hear us because probably after that, if we did well, and then he'd book us in, the people would know who we were. That was the reason for most of that.
What was it like playing? I never was along for that battle. What was it like sitting next to Harold Laufenmacher?
that was something. there was a lot more to that than I could see in the air, but sometimes they ask me that when I see you in the grocery store. That was quite a deal we played. But he was a great musician, a great band.
Yep. There were stories.
He had a great band. That was good. And I enjoyed talking to him. He was kind of a bullshitter. But,
sure.
But I always looked up to him because that was always my favorite band.
Did you ever play against Elmer Scheid?
Yeah, at the Medina Ballroom.
Did you? That was a thrill too, huh?
And Jerry Shook.
Yeah, I was along with that one. Yeah.
Were you? Yeah. And the Lumberjacks we played.
Did
at
you
the Fairgrounds.
Too? Oh, really?
Against the Lumberjacks one time. The Fairgrounds of St. Cloud. I don't know how that happened, but anyhow, we played the Valley Music against them.
Oh, those are some great, great memories.
Absolutely. Just to hear, trying to compete against those guys. Boy, they were good.
Oh, yeah.
They were the best bands around.
And I'm sure when they came up here, they probably said, Ray, who? Because they never heard of you, huh?
I think they did at that time because I was in the business about 4 or 5 years back.
Oh, okay, sure. Yeah, and the people just loved it, and I don't know how the dance halls. I guess they did such a business back in those days that they could afford to pay two bands too, huh?
Well, I guess kind of and sort of, I guess mm-hmm. But if they had like a wedding dance, or something like that, they were pretty much guaranteed a good crowd, and then they could probably run through two bands in.
Sure, and that would draw more people at the gate.
So that would draw more people than. And then, like you say, if you wanted to book our band, people at least would know who you are,
Sure.
And, usually you got rehired again, but not always,
Okay, sure.
They didn't like it,
Sure.
You didn't get hired.
That's right. So, well, as you look back, which one was the favorite one to play against? Who did you look forward to
most? It was between Ryan's, the Saturday night ones, you say?
Yeah, like a battle of bands. Yeah, who did you...
The Saturday night ones would be the Ryan's Ballroom and the one at Glencoe.
Okay, those two ballrooms.
Two ballrooms, yeah.
And which...
But the local ones were certainly the most important ones here.
Absolutely.
Richmond and Avon and Granite City, Fairgrounds and all those, And, on Saturday nights, you always had to drive about 70 miles, because that was... That was a big night.
Absolutely. But when you were doing these battles of bands, who did you look forward to most playing against?
Oh, scared of mostly. Put it that way.
Yeah.
I guess Loughamucker.
Oh, yeah? He was most intimidating?
I would say because, they always rather bring 7, 8, or 9 guys,
Sure.
They had a good band,
They were billed as America's number one polka band, so that was.
Well, when you're playing against them, you get your hands full. So.
That's right. And then the big thrill of the night was the last half hour. We'd usually play together. The two bands would play together.
Yeah.
And
that's right. That was great.
Yes.
We played with the Dutchman that time, and we played like the old lady polka and some of the Dutchman numbers. And the Saturday Night Waltz and all those we played together,
Sure.
And different numbers. That really, I'll tell you, with all those musicians, that's really some of the great.
Oh, I can believe that. Yeah.
And I'll get a kick out of those guys. They played so much, they didn't have to look at it. We used our music,
Yep.
And because we played less. And they didn't even have to worry about looking at our music. They played so much, and they played that all by heart.
Sure.
I played E flat concertina, and so did Dutchman. The concertina player also played them. Amo Milbrick, he played also the E flat. So they were used to the
right in key.
Their same key as we played in.
Sure.
So that made it really easy. So
you bet.
See, when he played against Shai, it was all B flat and C, so that was a little different. The only musicians that didn't make any difference, they were that good.
Oh, yes.
They played so much at that time that didn't make any difference.
Well, our time has just about run out here, Ray. Can you give us one more good story from over the years in your mind that you remember, either with the battles or with your own band going someplace? I've got a couple in mind, but I'm always anxious to hear what you might come up with.
No, I really don't have anything
Well, I'm going to start you on one, and you can finish it. I remember I wasn't along on this particular job, but I heard about it. And we always played for Father Sauer out at Bruton for the Harvest Festival in fall of the year. And you had a couple of trumpet players playing for you, George Frederson and Don Nelson, and they were characters at the time, huh?
Yeah, they sure were.
And what happened one night?
Well, anyhow, they had we played for him when he was at Alexandria, you know.
Yep.
And then also he was way out there, you know. And he said, "Ray, would you come up and play?" I said, "Yeah, I will," because he's always treated us well, you know.
Sure.
And so then we played for a while. And then they had this festival, you know. So they had drawings for prizes, you know.
Yep.
So we all put in some money, you know, for prizes, you know. And here, Frederickson comes up with, you won a couple of Muscovy ducks.
Oh, oh, my goodness.
What he was doing, though, is he said, "Where are you going to move?" You know, and it was funny. And then Toby said, "Okay, they go in the trailer," you know.
Yep.
And then Toby loaded up like we normally do, you know. And then we start going down the road, all of them, quack, quack. I said, "What is this?" Here they had him in the back seat.
Oh, my God.
Ducks, you know. Oh, my God. And then all the other stuff could go in the trailer with them. Ducks, had to get it right inside.
Yo.
But whatever they did with him, I don't know.
Yep. Yeah, those were experiences, one-time-only type things a person just never forgets, so, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Well, it was a good time anyhow, and the one big thing about over the years, we never were in an accident or anything like that, so that really, that was the main concern, that being on the road at 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, you know.
Absolutely.
Coming back to these jobs, and I was,
you
thank
bet.
God, and nothing ever went
nothing
that
bad.
Way,
so. Yep.
That's true.
Well, very good, Ray. Well, our time has run out. We want to save time to play some of that recording there. It's called Old Time Favorites with Ray Dronnell Orchestra, Ray and the Concertina, and all the other guys I'll mention again. So, hey, we want to thank you for taking time out and joining us again, and we've done it before. We'll do it again sometime, the good Lord willing. How's that, Ray?
That sounds good. Thanks a lot.
All righty, and there he goes, yep. Mr. Ray Dronnell of the Ray Dronnell Orchestra, and our 191st guest here on our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM. That takes us to 22 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon, 44 degrees here in central Minnesota. Boy, Ray and I, we could go on for a couple hours here. There's some great memories with the Ray Dronnell Orchestra. Don't go away. We've got music coming up by Ray in just a moment.